Hey everybody, welcome to Cage My IQ. As always, I am your host, D-Bake, and joining with me today, as always, for the previews is my co-host, Jim DeLulo. How's it going, Jim?
It's going, man. Love your shirt, by the way. It's a badass shirt. I think I have something similar to that.
Yeah.
And I think you can tell people where to get it, right? These are available, right?
Exactly. You can find this at all of our merch up at fightersfirst.shop. All you got to do is put in at the URL right there. Click on it, scroll down to the Cage My IQ collection, and then look at the few shirts that we have right now. We have the black shirt in two different styles. It's vintage and old school, as well as we have the hoodie that'll get you ready for the fall. So if you're a fan of the podcast, fan of MMA, just go to fightersfirst.shop, scroll down to the Cage My IQ collection, and then buy one of our shirts. We gracefully appreciate it. And then just give us comments on what you think of it. As you see right now, we got the shirts on. They're comfy. They feel good. So definitely check them out. And while you're at it, check out all the Art of MMA shirts too. We got a collection for that. We got a collection for Brandon Catino's line as well. He fights for Glory. He's one of the co-hosts on Art of MMA. And his old school shirt just went out now. So check that out too.
Yeah, man. You said for fans of the podcast, just for fans of shirts, like this is a badass shirt, number one, but also like I'm a t-shirt guy. You know this, like between comic book t-shirts, my sports t-shirts, but like when I order t-shirts from sites that, you know, they give you fast shipping, like, you know, Art of MMA and Fighters First did, but also like when you get like the screen print stuff, you take it out of the bag, right? And it smells and you're like, oh God, I got to wash it. When I got this shirt, no lie, pulled it out. The first thing I did was do the smell test. This thing was game ready. I was ready to put it on. You know, I got it on Saturday for the Conor McGregor fight. I went out. I wore it. I repped proudly. It's so goddamn comfy. I don't know if I could say that. We're going to demonetize. but it's super comfy. It's breathable. I'm a sweater, and this doesn't trap in all the body heat. It's not like wearing a scooter suit. So pick up these shirts, man. They're awesome.
Yep. And then, of course, as always, we are Cage My IQ, the best place for MMA content. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch at the handles to the left. And then, of course, we are now part of the Fighters First brand. So go to the YouTube channel at Fighters First. Subscribe to the channel so that you can still follow all of our content on there now since we switched over to right there. So once again, just put in at Fighters First on YouTube. Subscribe to that so you don't miss any of our content on there. And give us a like on all of our videos and comment. Let us know what you think of how we're doing with our previews and our recap videos, because that's what we like. We like feedback, and we want to be able to improve on everything week to week. So let us know what you think, and then just give us a shout out. And then, as always, I said it on Monday, if you buy a shirt from us, let us know, and I'll give you a shout out on Monday on the recap video. So definitely do that. But for the show today, we will be covering UFC Fight Night Makhachev versus Moses, the preview. They will be headlining this UFC Fight Night right now, coming to you on Saturday. Usually they have a 6-fight card on Fight Nights, but this week it's a treat. We only get 5, so it'll be a little bit quicker for you, because this was supposed to be a headline by Max Holloway and Yair Rodriguez, which sucks. But because Max Holloway backed out, they postponed it. They will be still doing that fight later on. I'm hoping in September. So now the new headliner is Islam Makhachev versus Thiago Moises. This is going to be a good fight. We're talking about it in a little bit for the main event. But when you saw this fight card, what did you think of it?
I knew that it was going to be another late night. Honestly. This was a fight card that it features fighters that I know, right? And then up and coming fighters and returning fighters with Misha Tate. But that Max Holloway Yair fight was something that I put on my calendar. I was super stoked for this card. A little underwhelmed with this card, but they have to make do with what they got. I do think the main event is fireworks. When you have Makhachev, you know exactly what you're going to get. And we're going to talk about that, but anytime you can showcase Khabib Jr. or somebody who fights like Khabib, has the same skill set, you're in for a treat. And I have my thoughts on that fight, but this is gonna be a good card. I'm excited.
Transition from that. Yeah. Let's actually get started with the first fight on the card. Of course, it's a featherweight matchup, which is pitting Gabriel Benitez going up against Billy Quarantillo, aka Billy Q. First, you've got Benitez, who comes in at 22-9 and the minus 190 favorite. And then Billy Q is coming in 15-3 and is the plus 160 underdog. What do you see with this matchup?
Yeah, this is a good fight. On one side, you have Billy Q, who is the type of fighter to move forward, get in your face. He has knockout power and puts most of his power in his right hook. He also makes good use of his uppercut in the clinch, and he's really good with dirty boxing. Gabriel Benitez is a fighter that uses an array of kicks to keep his opponent on his back foot. He has good use of body and head kicks and chops down the legs. With this fight, I see Billy Q getting the fight to the ground and using his aggressive ground game to try and help him secure the win. This was a tough one to pick, but I see this fight going actually in Benitez's favor because his shots are way more calculated than Billy Q's. Billy Q has like what some would call a reckless fight style, where there's a lot of looping overhands. There's a lot of looping, big wind up for pitches, for punches. I think Benitez is a little more calculated, where he pieces you up a little bit, picks his spots, works the liver, doesn't discriminate against the where in the body he hits, where Billy Q is looking for the knockout. So I'm going to go with Benitez by decision in this fight.
Yeah, first off, we got them going right here. You got Billy Q, who is coming in on 4-1 in his last five fights. The last fight that he did was a loss. He's fighting out of Tampa, Florida, 32 years old. He's 145.5 pounds, 5'10", and he has a 70-inch reach. And then he has no affiliate for his gym. Then you got Benitez, who is 3-2 in his last five fights. He's coming in with a win in his last fight. He's from Mexico. He fights out Tijuana, Baja California, Mexico. He's 33 years old, 155.5 pounds, 5'8" with a 71-inch reach, and then he fights out of American Kickboxing Academy. And then you got Benitez. He is a fighter who likes to throw a wide range of kicks at you, and he grabs your legs. His hands are underrated. He has a straight right hand that he throws a lot, and he likes to mix in body shots as well with his shots to his opponent's face to mix things up. He tends to struggle against wrestlers who know how to get their opponents down, but he's hard to keep down. You can get him down, but he gets right back up once you basically get him down. Benitez has a nice guillotine submission. He looks for a lot in fights. It tends to do it a little bit too much, but if he could dial it down and then just do it at times to surprise guys, he'll be better off that way. He has the capability to pour in a volume to overwhelm his opponents, and he has great fighter IQ, and his footwork is very underrated. And then you got Billy Q, who is a fighter who likes to move forward and get in front of you. He likes to stay on his feet, on his front foot, and get his opponents to constantly move back. It's kind of like the Chris Moutinho movement that he was doing against Sean O'Malley this Saturday. He likes to throw loopy punches. He likes to go for leg trips for takedowns. And when he has his opponent on the cage, he usually goes for a double leg takedown, the most simple takedown that you can do. He intends to be aggressive on top guard, rushes his movements, and sometimes loses position. His movement is too predictable at times, and he takes too much damage. Like I said before, it kind of reminds me of Moutinho. Mm-hmm. He struggles against good grapplers, but then he has great cardio to go with the pace that he moves at, but he doesn't veer off the line. So that goes hand in hand. He stays right on the line and doesn't move off. So he tends to take a lot of damage because of that, because he telegraphs what he's going to do and when he's going to do it. In this fight, I could see something in the situation where I could see Benitez get the win, because I could see him stuffing some of the takedowns. And I just feel like Billy Q's not going to be able to handle the pace, move it at it that way, and then do all that without losing some steam. So in this fight, I have the volume of Benitez being the X factor, and I see him win this by unanimous decision, probably 2 rounds to 1.
Yeah, those leg kicks are going to be big, and we both kind of highlighted it, that he has a wide array of leg kicks. That's a good defense against a wrestler. You know, you chop at the legs, there's less explosiveness for those takedowns. So it's going to be a close fight, honestly, I think. I think this has a potential for fight of the night just because of, you know, Billy Q's knockout power. And, like, we've just seen him do those Sean O'Malley walk-offs, you know what I mean? So it's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, no, and I definitely agree. And then, like I said before, that's why I'm going with Benitez. I feel like that volume is going to be hard to combat against with what with the damage that Billy Q does.
I agree.
So let's move on to the next matchup on here. We got a really good middleweight matchup, which is going to pit Rodolfo Vieira, who is 7-1 and is the -230 favorite, and he's going up against Dustin Stoltzis, who comes in at 13-2 and is the +190 underdog. What do you see with this matchup?
This is a good matchup, but this is a fight that I see ending up on the mat a lot. You look at Vieira, who looks like he's a Masters of the Universe action figure, right? The guy's enormous. And then you see his nickname. He's the Black Belt Hunter, right? And he's going up against Dustin Stoltzis, who's, you know, he's from close to where we grew up. Over in Pennsylvania. So you talked about volume with the last fight. They both throw a lot of volume. These guys do not throw a lot of volume. Combined, they average about 3 strikes per minute. So I expect Vieira to work for the takedown and then go to work. Stoltzis has a good ground game, but he is going up against a powerful and dangerous BJJ black belt. I'm not saying that Vieira is unbeatable. We obviously saw that, I believe, on his last fight. He did lose, but Dustin can't afford to put himself in a bad position. If Dustin were to keep this fight standing and use leg kicks to keep the distance and negate the takedowns, I think he's going to win. But I think this is going to be an extremely tough task because Vieira is aggressive with his takedowns and he's explosive and he has a great knack for getting your back. I had a hard time picking this one because you look at him and you're like 13-2, 7-1. These guys are poised to make that next step. And you see how strong they are in both their crafts. I went with Dustin Stoltzis. Gave him the hometown discount because he's a Philly guy, Pennsylvania guy. And I'm going with him by decision in this one. I'm curious to see where you're at, though.
Yeah, first we got Rodolfo Vieira. He is a grappler who doesn't like to strike on the feet. He throws a lot of feints and likes to push you at the cage to try to get takedowns. He goes for the double leg against the fence and mounts when he gets his opponent on the ground. He tends to look for the double leg when his opponent throws kicks at him. He has a high-level Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. He bites on feints too much, and his gas tank is basically empty after round one. Like, you see how muscular he is and how big he is. He tends to go a crazy round one and then not pace himself, and then he's basically dead after round two and three. So unless he can get it round one, he's basically slow from there on out.
Does he remind you of anybody just based on his body type? When I first saw him, I thought of like TRT Vitor.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where he's just like, his muscles look like clouds and he looks like he's made of clouds. His arms are the size of my leg. He's a specimen. Dude is built like an action figure.
Then you got Dustin Stoltzis. He has a Muay Thai style background where he likes to switch stances multiple times in fights. He is right hand dominant, and he likes to throw right hooks in the southpaw stance. He loads up most times in his strikes. He throws lower calf kicks as a change of pace. He has good takedown defense, but needs to improve his ground positioning. Mm-hmm. He is confident on his back, and then he has great cardio. In this fight, I think it's going to come down to basically one thing. If Stoltzis can get out of the first round. Because if he can get out of the first round and avoid the onslaught that Vieira is going to bring on him in that first round, because he doesn't know how to pace himself. if he can do that, this is an easy clear cut. I'm going to go Stolfus by decision.
Okay.
With that. But there's a chance that if Vieira can get him down and pressure him early, there could be that chance that Vieira could win by submission. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I think he doesn't have any hands. He doesn't strike. It's all about him grappling and getting that submission. It's kind of like a poor man's Alexei Linick, but Linick can strike a lot better than him. And that's crazy.
He's got one of those seven wins is a KO though.
Yeah.
You know, but like you said, yeah, you see that he's got, it's just like, get it out the first round. But you also touched on Dustin being comfortable on his back, right? If you're going up against somebody like Vieira, you're seeing that Dustin may feel confident on his back. And who knows if he's rolled with somebody of the caliber of Rodolfo Vieira. I mean, they call him the BJJ black belt hunter. Like, you know what I mean? Again, that's like a Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
You send him out to fight G.I. Joe. Like, this guy is legitimately a beast, and it's going to be tough for Dustin. And I'm trying to talk myself out of my pick. I'm sorry.
No, you're right though. Like, you would think that if he had added any striking to his game, he'd be a beast, but it's just the fact that he avoids the stand up because he doesn't really have any. So he tries to get the guy to the ground. So as long as you can last with that, and then get past round one, like usually Vieira wins round one, 10-9, and then sometimes 10-8. As long as you can recover after that, and then get to rounds two and three, and you have a good pace and cardio, you're golden. You just withstand round one, and then you go and do round two and three, your game plan. I feel like if Stolfus can get out of there, I think his best bet is to throw some kicks early on in round one, then withstand what he's doing, because the kicks that he's going to throw might offset him a little bit and slow him down a little bit. And then round two and three, then you go with the straight right hands that he throws that are pretty powerful that he has. Like, he has underrated a power game, and then he could go right to that. And then there's even an outside chance that he could finish Vieira. Yeah. But I'm going to go, like I said, I'm going to go with a decision victory for Stolfus.
Yeah, I wish Dustin used his stand up more. Yeah. He's so cautious with it, but he's got two knockout wins. I just wish he would stand up a little bit more. It would be crazy if Vieira just drops in the guard and just like is just waiting for Dustin to, you know, go into deep waters with him. But I see that gas tank being, you know, the deciding factor, honestly. You see that more time than not with some of these like big guys that come in there and, you know, they're all muscle but no gas tank. It's all, you know, it's always leg day but never cardio. Yeah.
But going from that, let's move on to the third fight on the card. And we got a lightweight matchup between Jeremy Stephens, who's 28-18 and is the +180 underdog, going up against Matheus Gamrot, who's 18-1 and is the -220 favorite. What do you see in this matchup?
Yeah, this is an interesting matchup, man. We've got veteran Jeremy Stephens going up against the UFC prospect in Matheus Gamrot. Stevens is on a 4-fight losing streak. We've talked about this. He hasn't won a fight in 3 years. And this is not to say that Jeremy Stevens is not dangerous anymore, but it's worth noting. He's been fed to the wolves. It was like Calvin Kattar, Yair, Zabit, Jose Aldo. Like, and now he's getting this guy, 18-1, again, like a dangerous dude. With this fight, I believe Matheus is going to push the pace like he does and keep Stevens moving backwards. Gamrot's threat of the takedown is his greatest strength in this fight. And I think that this game plan is going to be great. I think that he's going to execute it amazingly. If he stands and bangs with Stevens, I think that there's a greater chance that he'll get caught with one of Stevens' power shots. But on the ground, he can go to work and tire Stevens out. This is Jeremy Stevens returning to this weight class. He hasn't fought in this weight class for a bit, because we saw that drop to, you know, what, 145 was pretty rough. You know, I think the last time he was at 155, it was that infamous press conference with Connor. You know what I mean? Who's this guy? This fight, unfortunately, was the easiest one to pick. I like Jeremy Stephens, but I think this is going to be his fifth loss, and I actually see this coming as a a submission via heel hook.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's his go-to, Gamrot.
So basically what you're saying is he's going to lose, and then he's going to sign a deal the next day with the Bare Knuckle Fight Club.
Probably, yeah. He'll go down and fight with, like, Gamebred in his promotion.
Yep. But for me, you got Jeremy Stephens. He likes to fight off his front foot to use his power to his advantage. He has a stiff jab and a lower left leg kick. He can read his opponents really well and use that to map out what he's going to do early on in fights. He struggles with guys with good movement. He has good takedown defense, but if he's taken down, he tends to take a while to get back up. Mm-hmm. He has great submission defense, and he has a great chin. And then you got Gamrot, who fights off of his lead foot. He likes to go for takedowns. He uses a lot of feints with level changes. He uses a straight right and jab a lot and dips a little too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if he does that and Stephens goes for a uppercut, that's going to be bad news for Gamrot.
Yeah, uppercuts and knees. That's what Stephens should be working in this fight.
He's susceptible to biting on feints at times. He has improved foot movement. He's been mixing his takedown attempts with his stand-up game to avoid predictability. He likes to shoot for single leg takedowns, and in the clinch, he likes to go for body locks. His motor is a big plus of his, and he's pretty lethal overall. And in this one, it's Jeremy Stephens is going to be hungry. He's going to come in and avoid that fish straight loss. You know, once you get to that range where he's at, it's basically boom or bust. You're fighting to stay in the UFC, and I just think he doesn't have it anymore. I think
he's two fights past boom or bust, my friend.
Yeah.
We've seen
big
people
time.
We've seen people get cut for less than three losses in a row.
And I got Matheus Gamrot with this one. It's just, do I think he's going to win by knockout, or do I think he's going to win by decision? And with this one, I'm going to go with a round two knockout. I think he's going to be able to do it. Even though Stephen's chin is good, he's been on the decline the past few years. And even with the move down, Gamrot's just on the way up, and then Stephens is on the way down. So I'm going to go with the round two knockout by Gamrot.
All right. Can't forget, Stephens, hardest hit in 155. Hardest hitter at 155. We know it. Mm-hmm. We've heard it. We've heard him tell us that.
Yep. But let's move on to the co-main event of the evening. This is probably one of the weakest co-main events for the rest of the year. We got a women's bantamweight matchup between Marion Reyno, who is the plus 110 underdog, going up against Miesha Tate, who's returning after a four-year absence, I believe it is.
Yeah.
She is 18-7 and is the minus 130 favorite. What do you see with this matchup?
Unfortunately, I think this might be viewed as a tune-up fight for Miesha Tate, warm-up fight. And no disrespect to Marion Reyno, she's accomplished, but I feel like 4 years ago, this fight would have been more exciting. But now that there's a lot of questions about this fight, and most are surrounding Miesha Tate, Miesha is coming in having not fought in 4 years, like you've mentioned, and has stated that she wants a shot at Amanda Nunes and feels she has the best skill set to beat her. She's going up against one of the oldest fighters on the roster in Reyno, who hasn't won a fight in the last 4 years. For Reyno, I believe she needs to keep the fight standing, use her kicks to work in the clinch. With Tate, she should look to catch one of those kicks, shoot for the takedowns, and work the ground and pound. I would also like to see Miesha use her jab and kicks to get Reyno onto the cage to work the inside the clinch. With this fight, I'm going to pick Miesha Tate. Only because I want to see her get that shot against Amanda Nunes and see if she can put her money where her mouth is and see if she's got what it takes. So I'm going to go with Miesha Tate by decision.
And then I was on the Art of MMA podcast earlier today, and they made a good point, Mike did, that the first time that she was supposed to fight Amanda Nunes and she got beat, she had no surgery right before the fight, and then Dana White had told her, wait till afterwards and then I'll pay for it, and she still got it anyway. So that did have an effect on that fight, where she kind of, I wouldn't say gave up, but her nose was very, very sensitive and tender at that point. So it left her in a bad spot for that fight. So I think she has a little bit of regret with that, and she wants to get kind of a revenge in that case. And then with her coming back, she looks even fresher and more fit than she did before, and after having a couple of kids.
Yeah, but look at Amanda Nunes, man. That's not the Amanda Nunes from 6 years ago, 4 years ago. Like, this is the lioness who has mopped up two divisions. She beat the boogeyman. Yeah. She beat the boogeywoman in Cyborg and has beat everybody. You know, I don't know if a four-year layoff is enough to...
But just remember, there's nothing worse than unpredictability. Yeah. When you're a favorite fighter, you might go into it a certain way and then be caught off guard. But
that 4 year layoff is a lot, dude. Like, that's just saying something. Like, 4 years. But I know she went and worked for, you know, your favorite promotion, One. So I know she was there for a bit, but, you know,
we'll see. But let's get started. First, we got Marion Reynaud. Of course, this is her retirement fight. She's coming in with all but four straight losses. She's 44 years old. She has nice hands and throws a good calf kick. She has below average takedown defense, and she is usually easy to be taken down. She's definitely shown her age with the last few fights. The last fight, she had a chance to win it, but Macy Chiazon basically took her down and kept her down, and then that's what won the fight. And then you got Misha Tate, who's coming in the four-year layoff. She has slow hand speed, uses the straight right hand, and then likes the level change. She telegraphs her striking too much. She is constantly looking to gain entries for the takedowns and has good timing. She goes for a double leg takedown and leg trips. She tends to be okay with too much being on her back and will accept takedowns at times. And then her top guard is really good. Mm-hmm. And she's good with the ground and pound and elbows when she gets top guard. I think in this matchup, it's a weak matchup between these two. I don't think it should be a co-main event, but they made it. We talked about it before. Maybe they should have had Maya and Air here, and then they should have had this fight over on the UFC card on the prelims as like maybe like a co-main event on the prelims just because of the face. But I'm going to go with Misha Tate with this matchup by a unanimous decision. I think basically what she's going to do is she's going to take the advantage with the takedowns, get her down, and basically hold her down and then look for a submission or elbows. And then so I think she's going to just control the time right there, and Reynaud, with how weak she is against that, she's not going to be able to do too much. If she was able to keep it standing up, Reynaud would have a good chance to win by just winning rounds by the striking, but I don't see that happening. I could even see Misha Tate winning by submission, get that rear naked choke in, get on her back and get it out. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Misha Tate by decision.
I mean, we have the same decision on this one, same pick. What happens next, though? You know, does she obviously doesn't get the shot at Amanda, right? Or Jessica. I mean, Jessica Pena is in line to fight Amanda. She might win the fight. Who knows? Do you think, like, does she go, like, I don't know, man. Like,
there's so many people. There's so many people in front of her, though, that division.
Holly Holm.
You got Holly Holm. You got Holly Holm. You got. Yeah, maybe they do Misha Tate against Jermaine Dave Randamie, because she's been sitting there at number one for the longest time. And then Holly Holm is two. She beat Aldana the last time she fought. And then Aldana is three, who then just beat Kunitskaya this Saturday. So it's like you can
that's use the matchup. Kunitskaya, Misha Tate. That's the next one. Then she goes to Aldana, and then she goes to Holly Holm.
Yeah, she can move up, but I just think she's not going to get that title shot anytime soon. She's going to have to wait 3-4 fights.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, she needs to earn it.
And then of course, no matter what, Reynaud's retiring. So good for her to last this long. She's 44 years old. Like, even though she's on a 4-fight, and I think she's going to wind up with 5-fight losing streak, for her to last this long has been nice. And at least she can go out on her own and call her shot and be like, I'm going to retire. before she loses.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations on a great career. Yeah. You know, not many people could say they won 9 professional MMA fights, you know what I mean, and competed at the highest level. So shout out to Marion Reynaud.
But with that, let's transition over to the main event of the evening, the reason we're here. We got a lightweight matchup between Islam Makhachev, who is 19-1 and is the -575 favorite, going up against Thiago Moises, who is 15-4 and is the +424 underdog. You got Islam, who's ranked, I believe he's number 10 or 11. And then it got Moises, who comes in ranked number 15, right at that cusp. Right there. He just made the top 15 list in the division. What do you think of this matchup?
I think this is an odd matchup, honestly, because I figured Islam's next fight would be against the top 10 competitor. But here we are. I guess the rumors are true that allegedly nobody wants to take a fight with Islam because of who he is.
Baby Khabib.
Yeah, right? Khabib 2.0. Makhachev is the fighter who doesn't have the best striking, but it's, you know, good enough to keep his opponent on his toes. It's very serviceable. Using the southpaw stance, Islam looks to use a good two-piece combo to set up a takedown. Thiago is more of a counter striker and uses that overhand right as his kill shot. The thing about Thiago is that he has way too many tells. He takes his big step backwards and immediately looks to throw the right, which I think will get him in trouble because of how dedicated and how good Makhachev's camp is at game planning. So I think that's going to lead Makhachev to take the fight to the ground, smother Thiago. Islam's ground game is similar to Khabib as he wraps up the legs but also traps the arms to maul his opponent. I think this fight goes to the second round and ends in a stoppage because of ground and pound on behalf of Islam Makhachev.
Now that's pretty good. That's earlier than what I expected you to do. I thought you might have went with like a round 4 or 5.
He's never gone 5, right?
No.
Also, this might be his first main event.
This is his first main event. He has gone 3 rounds, but
I don't think he goes past 3.
I'll get to that in a second. But okay, first,
well, yes. I'm sure you went to this decision.
No, but first, I got Makhachev, who has a basic strike and is a southpaw. He mainly uses the straight right to him, will be more reckless now after having success on his feet in the past fights that he's had. He uses it to set up his double leg entries. He tends to lean back to avoid strikes. Islam will pressure his opponent and cut the octagon in half to limit where his opponent can move so he has better chances for takedown attempts. He has great timing and likes to go for single leg takedowns. Foot sweep is his X factor and fighters struggle with it, so look for him to look for that several times. He likes to use the arm bar and go for the back of his opponent at times, and his cardio is really good. So he should have no problems lasting all 5 rounds in this matchup. Then you got Thiago Moises. He uses the counter straight right and takes a step back to throw it. He will try to walk you into the shot that he throws, and then he throws nice leg kicks. His lower calf kick against orthodox fighters is nice, and then he has high kicks for versus southpaw. So whichever way it goes, you can gauge what kind of kick that he throws. Mm-hmm. He has bad tendency to get close to the fence, which is him always stepping back to set up his throws. Like I said before, he likes to step back to throw the counter straight right. He's always attacking for submissions when on his back, and then he has great Brazilian jiu-jitsu game on him. So this isn't going to be a walk in the park for Islam Makhachev. He's going to be tested in several ways with the kicks and then the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But I think at the end of the day, I got Islam Makhachev winning by round 4 submission. I think he's going to pressure him all fight. He's going to pressure him. He's going to exactly the Khabib way, the Sambo style. You push ahead, force them to make their momentum back so it's easier to get that takedown. And when he's doing that, he's going to move forward and then get the leg sweep, get him down, and then just keep him down on the ground and make him expel a lot of energy trying to fight the takedown.
Yeah, smother him and overwhelm him and put him in a position where Moises has to, you know, put himself in a bad position
and the thing that Makhachev likes to do that I've noticed is he wraps himself around their legs,
yeah,
so they can't move.
And brings the arm in,
and then he puts his arm and elbow on the guy's, basically his neck. He likes to do that so that he's expelling a lot of energy trying to breathe because he has his hand on the neck. So I'm going to see him do that several times. And then I think by round three or four, I think he'll have like three or four takedowns by then, maybe just three. But by that time, I think Moises is going to expel a lot of energy because within that, I think he'll be able to get up at times and then throw those kicks and whatnot. But he's just going to, it's just going to be too much pressure for him to attack Makhachev. And I just feel like he's going to make a small move. Makhachev is going to take his back and then choke him out and get the submission victory.
Yeah, even though he's going to win. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. And then hopefully after that, he gets that top 10 matchup because I think they're, after that early loss that he had in his career, they're just like, okay, we need to see him prove himself. And then once he beat Drew Dober, like, okay, he beat Drew Dober. That's a good win. But then they're like, do this one thing, bite this guy down, and then after that, you're doing us the favor. Now do us. Now we will do you a favor afterwards, and you'll be guaranteed a top 10 fighter. And I'd be interested to see who that would be next.
So let's talk about that, right? Good segue, man. You're a king at this. So according to UFC's rankings, Makhachev is number 9 in the division, right?
That's so even better.
Let's focus on the people in his orbit. Let's stay at that 5 to 9 range, right? Tony Ferguson's number 5.
Yes.
Rafael Dos Anjos, number 6. Connor, who he's not going to fight, is number 7. No. We know this doesn't get Connor out of bed. And then there's Dan Hooker, we haven't heard from in quite some time.
That's a name that I would be very intriguing, is Dan Hooker, because it's a step up from 9, and then it's right there at 8. Because, you know, it's not going to be McGregor. We haven't seen Dos Anjos in a while. And then I think Ferguson won't bite on it. So I think either it would be Hooker or Dos Anjos.
Yeah, they're the two that I thought. But I also thought that – I also have a thought that, you know, maybe Dana White gets a little spicy with this and throws, you know, Dariush at
that was going to be my third name.
Or even Gaethje, because he's not doing anything. And he's not going to be doing anything for quite some time. Chandler and Gaethje, in my mind, is the fight to make, right? Because they're both sitting there idle, both former title contenders, both poised at a top spot. I think, honestly, it would be a 3-9 matchup with Beneil Dariush and Islam.
I really like that one, but like that Gaethje one intrigues me, like you said. And then we already know that Michael Chandler's fighting in December. He just doesn't have an opponent yet. He's come out and said, I'm fighting in December, just waiting on an opponent. So seeing who his opponent is then, we'll get a very good idea of then where we can go for that. Because if that's Gaethje, then we're gonna be like, okay, let's do Makhachev as long as he wins. He should win this Saturday, but as long as he wins, then do Dariush, maybe. Do that. Yeah. But then I just have a feeling that they won't do that, and Dariush will be like, I'm not going to take that because I'm sitting here pretty at number 3 or 4, and I'll wait for a good fight. So then that's why I think maybe Dos Anjos or Hooker, because they're inactive right now.
Yeah, it's a very picky division at this point. People only want to fight certain people. So you know what will end up happening. It'll be number 9, Islam Makhachev versus number 10, Gregor Gillespie. There you go. That's the next fight. 10 versus 9.
Yeah, and then he deserves better than that because he's already – the last fight he did was Dober, who was like 11 or 12 at the time. And now he's doing Moises, who is 15. So
14.
Moises
– He just rose up a rank. Just went up one.
Okay, so then 14. So he should be able to get that top 10 matchup, and it's just a matter of who. And then knowing that, of course, like we said before, Habib is his trainer. You know that he's going to be prepared no matter what. Because of watching those videos of the train and then Habib taking it to him, the only guy better than being the teacher is the student. So... Yeah. He's gonna be high tuned, and I think I give him 2 years, and he'll be the lightweight champion.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, if Michael Chandler is fighting in December, right? Yeah. Who's to say that this isn't the fight to make? Islam versus Chandler. You know, yeah. Chandler said he'll fight anybody, right? He agreed to fight Charles. He agreed to fight Dustin. He agreed to fight Justin. He agreed to fight Tony. And he was left with Dan Hooker.
Yep.
So who's to say he just doesn't say, like, give me Islam. Keep me active.
Yeah, that's all it's about is getting guys to stay active and fighting and get these log jams out of the way. That's what they're trying to do. That's how you avoid it, by not having guys kind of dictate that they're going to wait or not, because that's what happened in the heavyweight division. They got a log jam because of that. So with how they're doing here, let's hope that they don't get that way and everybody fights and everybody wants to move on. So yeah. But this is going to be a killer guy in the future, and he just needs to hope that he doesn't slip on Saturday, because if he doesn't come in 100%,
yeah,
and then he takes Moises lightly, he could lose this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but absolutely. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to come in sharp, ready to go, and then he's going to take this win.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. But let's transition from this. We're done with the preview for tonight, but I'm going to take it on over to Jim to do the sponsors for you right here. So if you want to get that started.
Yeah, man. Shout out to our sponsors. Let's start with 99 Jersey, right? Summer's here, so you know it's sleeveless weather time, so you can rock the Toon Squad jersey for the new Space Jam movie coming out. All the basketball stuff, Mighty Ducks. If you want a boutique jersey, go to 99 Jersey. Enter code SportsBoxShow20 to get 20% off your first purchase, and support Cage My IQ by doing that. And Suntown Guns out, right? Got USA jerseys. The Olympics are getting ready to start. Toon Squad, got Kobe jerseys. Get all your boutique jerseys there. Then Odds Jam. Everybody's been there where they see the numbers at the bottom of SportsCenter in parentheses and they have no idea what it means. Go over to Odds Jam, figure out what that means. Go to the link in their bio, get every odd for every fight, every game. Go to the link in the bio and sign up for an account at Odds Jam, and you know, never miss a bet again. And then High Tide Herbal. We talked about this last week. We talk about it every week. Athletes and coaches wanted to help athletes and coaches, and they came up with High Tide Herbal. All these different products, handmade soaps, bath bombs, organic hemp CBD solves. CBD is for physical, it's for mental, it's for whatever you need to get you back to baseline and get you thriving again. So go to hightideherbal.com, use code CAGEMYIQ10, and start feeling better.
Thank you very much for that. So definitely check out all of our sponsors right there. We thank them so much for working with us. So once again, check out one of the three there and let us know what you think of them. Yep. And then they even said, let them know how they're doing, and support us here at Cage by IQ. And of course, you can find us every Monday night at 8:40 on the Sports Box Network. We're on YouTube, Instagram. I mean, we're on YouTube, Facebook, and then Twitch every Monday night live. So watch us as we do our recaps. And then, of course, every Thursday at noon, check out our video on here. It's either on every Thursday at noon or a little bit after during dinner time, whichever comes first. Sometimes we record on Wednesday, sometimes we record on Thursday. So just check it out. All you got to do is go to @FightersFirst to the YouTube channel and search for in the Cage My IQ playlist right there, and then watch our video. Give it a like. Let's comment on the video. More than likely, I usually put a question of the episode on there. So comment with the answer to that and what you think. And just let us know who you predict is going to win on the main card this Saturday night. But as always, before we get going, I am D-Bake. And then this is Jim. And then, Jim, do you have anything to say before we get wrapping up?
Yeah, just listen to my podcast, Active Geek Podcast. We are going back to just Wednesday episodes now that Loki's over, and then the Galaxy Wars podcast every Monday. If you like movies, TV, and comics, hit us up.
Definitely. So, and then be prepared as we will be back next Thursday for the UFC Fight Night, which is headlined by TJ Dillashaw versus Corey Sandhagen. I am hyped for that matchup. Same. It was supposed to happen a couple months ago, but then TJ Dillashaw had that injury where he got that cut, so they had to push it back a few months. So be on the lookout for that one, and then we will talk to you guys later. Have a good day, guys.
Buy a shirt.
Yep. Buy the shirt right here. Fightersfirst.shop. Scroll down to the to our set list right there at Cage My IQ Collection, and then buy the shirt. Yeah, but we will talk to you later.
See ya.